In that scripture from Acts chapter 17, it says, God our Father is not far from each of us. We've never seen God, but many of us feel his presence. And I'm not sure how many here this morning, but there are several of us who have lost our fathers. And yet we understand that scripture. We feel his presence. Some of us have lost our fathers years ago. Some of us have lost fathers not too long ago. But we still feel his presence in our life. And one of the great descriptions of God is that he is a father to all of us. And he's present with all of us, each of us. And it's interesting how in the beginning, God, our Father, creates for us a garden in which to live. And because some of us have been raised in North America, I'm not sure about how everybody else feels. When I hear the word garden, I think of, you know, flowers and things like that. But if you go to different parts of the world, a garden doesn't mean flowers and such like. If you're in England or Australia or much of the world, when we mention the word garden, it's their outdoor living space. God created an outdoor living space for people. And when you look in the Garden of Eden, there is this massive land where men and women live, particularly Adam and Eve. And I loved, even before the garden is created, what is written. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And in the garden, he plants, and I'm not sure if this is symbolic or not, but he plants a couple of trees. I'm sure there were many trees. One is called the tree of life. And in this tree of life, the fruit that comes from this tree of life brings life. And then there is this tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. And God says, stay away from that. Don't eat the fruit of that. Because if you do, you'll know what evil is all about. And again, I'm not sure if it's literal or if it's symbolism. And of course, when Satan comes and then somewhat deceives and encourages Eve and then Adam to partake of the fruit of that tree where they will experience evil in their life, they quit listening to their father's voice. And they listened to someone who was not their father. They listened to someone who wanted to use them instead of loving them. But God, our great Father, even in the decisions that we have sometimes made that pull us away from what really is best for us, many of us had fathers that would forgive us and love us and correct us and show us a better way. And it's interesting how this phrase garden is used throughout the scriptures. It's not as if when Adam and Eve were abandoned that God was no longer interested in them. He was so interested in them that he's constantly in dialogue with them, encouraging them. Even though they're outside of this garden now, the thought of the garden continually comes. And one of my favorite stories is in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, where John tells his own experience after Jesus died and is buried. And everyone isn't sure exactly what's going to happen. I love how John puts this. And John is one of those great writers where he takes us back to the garden. He never leaves the garden, but he does something unique. And before I talk about that uniqueness, just notice how he takes this monumental time in all of history, the death of Jesus and the resurrection, and brings us back to the garden, the beginning of all things. Here's the story. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, And both the angels were seated. One sat at the head of where Jesus laid, and one at the foot of where Jesus laid. And the angels asked Mary, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she said, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. And Jesus asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" And he watched John, thinking that he was the gardener. She said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, her name, Mary. And immediately she knew who it was. And isn't it so fascinating that John puts this here, that Mary thinks that Jesus is the gardener. And I missed this for so many years, that in reality, Jesus is the gardener of our souls. He's always hoeing us. He's always making some of the weeds in our life and pulling them out. And he's producing flowers in our life. He's gardening us. He is the gardener of our souls. So it's not ironic that in the beginning we have this outdoor living space, this garden, and then Jesus comes along as the gardener of God's creation. And then John reiterates that he is the gardener of our souls. And then we go to the last book from the beginning, the first book in Genesis to the last book in Revelation. And then God does something unique. He takes this beautiful garden and he recreates it into the city where we will all be reunited with our Father again. It's not so much that God has left us. He never has, but he says he will come and make his home with us. Listen to these words. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and he will dwell with them, and he will wipe every tear from our eyes.'" So God one day will renew all things where we will be reunited with our fathers, our earthly fathers and mothers and all those people, because at the death of Jesus, he rose from that death to say, death is not the end. That the spirit in each person is alive and ever will be. And then in the latter part of Revelation 21, he takes us from the garden into this great city that is amazing to us. Listen to what he says. "I don't see the temple anymore in the city because the Lord Almighty and Jesus are at its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives light to all." And then he talks about the water of life. And just listen to this, how John, in John's gospel, took us back to the garden. And now here in the last book of the Bible, he again takes us back to the garden. Listen to this. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal flowing, and from the throne of God of the Lamb, down in the middle of the great city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life. And this represents the healing of all the nations. The tree of life that brings life. And the tree of life that brings life is still very much alive. The tree of life that will bring our life is one day what you and I will experience. So we say happy Father's Day to the father of us all, and we say to our dads, we'll see each other again.